Amen. Next Sunday, Pastor Jared is going to be with us, our new pastor. Are you excited about that? Pastor Jared, if you are going to watch this a little bit later on, we just want to say we are excited about you being with us. We are looking forward to it. We can't wait for you and your family to get here in your new place of service. And so we are excited about that. Well, how many new Pelotons do we have out there? How many more Nordic tracks do we have? How many more different diets, reading, Bible reading plans? Those are all good, right? Because we are 3 days now into the new year 2021. Can you believe that? I still kept making mistakes and getting the two and the one switched and kept putting 2012. And I couldn't figure out why things weren't going through when I kept getting those numbers switched. We are in 2021. How many of you heard just recently, oh, bring on 2021 because it can't get any worse than this for 2020? Remember when Mark Lanier was with us a few weeks ago? He said that there are some that were saying that 2020 is going to be used as a not so nice word, a curse word moving forward, you know? You really 2020'd that up or something like that, you know? That's going to be the meaning of 2020. Yeah, we are inclined to think, well, goodness, let's get this year behind us because it can't get any worse than this. But friend, I appreciate what Beth just said just a few minutes ago. She said, we don't know what 2021 holds. We don't know what it holds. And she quoted the verse, which is now my favorite verse, my life verse. God gave it to me in about 2013, I believe it was, in a particular time in my life, and it was Deuteronomy 31:8. The Lord, he goes before you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. That's what our God said to us. Now, this is what he said to Israel. You say, well, he was speaking to Israel. What do we have to say about that? Well, then we also remember the words of Jesus in Matthew 28. He says what? Go into all the nations and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And what? And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I don't want to give you a depressing message this morning. I want to give you an exciting message today. From God's word is that even though we know not what 2021 holds, and who knows, we had no idea what 2020 was going to be like when we were at this time a year ago, and we may get to the end of 2021 and say, well, it's got to get better in 2022. But where we take confidence and where we get our peace of mind is that we know the one who has already gone before us. You know what? There was nothing that came near the end of 2020 where God is wringing his hand saying, oh my goodness, the 31st is almost here and I have got to get these things done. No. You see, God lives and operates in eternity and he steps into time. We live in time, or live in time, chronological, this and this and this. And it's hard for us to even understand eternity. We can't comprehend it because we don't live there yet. But the life that God has given us here on this earth, what a cruel God that would be if he said the sum total of your existence is what happens in your 45, 50, 60, 80, 90 years on earth. We're created for more than that. We are created for a relationship with Jesus Christ. And when God gave me that verse back in 2013, I had no idea what I would go through in 2016 and 2017 and 2018 and 2019. And certainly not 2020. But what kept drawing me back to that truth is that, but God was there no matter where I found myself. And God is there. So as we look today, I just want us to look at some passages of Scripture today. And I want to ask you to turn to James chapter 4 just for a second. Because there's two passages I want us to use as backdrops of what we're going to look at this morning. In James chapter 4, very familiar to you, beginning in verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. Now turn to Philippians chapter 3, and that's where we'll spend most of our time. Philippians chapter 3. He says, Paul says in verse 13, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Now, why do we look at those two verses? Why is it so important to look at those in light of what we're going to look at this morning and spend most of our time in? On the one, he's saying, look, you don't know what tomorrow holds. Only God knows what tomorrow holds. And your attitude should be, whatever the Lord wills, we will make plans. And he's not saying, do not plan. In fact, Jesus said, what man builds a tower unless he first considers the cost? So we should be fatalists. We shouldn't just give up and just say, well, then I'm just going to lay back, not make any goals, not make any plans for the future. That's not what he's saying. But we understand that it's in God's hands. And God determines what happens in history. Well, we look at Paul, and he certainly knew that truth. We look at Paul, and what does he say? I do not consider that I've laid hold of it yet, but I forget what lies behind. Now, did Paul have a lot that he needed to forget? You betcha he did. He had a whole other life that he lived thinking he was doing service to God. And he did it with gusto, only to find out he was literally working against God and his church. So he had to forget it. But then what does he say? But I press on. It's the idea of a runner that's running a sprint, and he's getting close to the finish line and presses the chest to the finish line, to the ribbon, running with purpose. And that's what we have to do. We live our lives with purpose that's found in God. So now look at chapter 3, Philippians 3. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble for me and is safe for you. Rejoice in the Lord. Paul mentions either joy or rejoicing 16 times in Philippians alone. Have joy. He goes on in chapter 4, he says in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. In other words, he's saying, I'm going to sound like a broken record, but rejoice. Almost like if we were in Paul's presence and he's about to go, and we go, I know, rejoice, rejoice. Okay, I got it, Paul. Rejoice. And I'll keep saying it. I'll keep saying it again and again and again. Why? Because there's no problem for me to do it, and it's good for you. No matter what the future holds, to rejoice, to have joy. Rejoice in the Lord every day. So I think what we take away as we get ready for 2021 is very simple and very straightforward. It's not complicated. It's not fatalistic. It's not pessimistic. It's not giving up. It's not giving in. But at the same time, it's not wringing our hands and worrying about the future. Because we are called to God. And so the first thing is, how do we approach 2021? What's the first thing that should be one of our goals? Rejoicing in the Lord every day. The word there when he says rejoice is in the Greek is keep on rejoicing. Keep on. Don't stop. Keep on rejoicing. It's a matter of mind over matters. Regardless of what the circumstances bring, it matters not. Yes, we may get discouraged. We're normal human beings. And when sad events come into our lives, or painful events come into our lives, or uncertain events come into our lives, it's only human to sometimes get discouraged in those things. But Paul is saying, but look, get in the practice of rejoicing, mind over the matters, putting our trust in him. In 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul said, be thankful in every circumstance. Be thankful in every circumstance. Not be thankful for every circumstance, but be thankful in every circumstance. There's a big difference. There's a big difference. As I think back over the events of my life and our family's life, I am not thankful for a lot of things. But I can be thankful in the midst of those things. Why? Because I belong to Jesus. And Jesus is the one that brings purpose and hope in life, no matter what the circumstances are. You know, like if you're walking down the street and you fall and you break your leg, you shouldn't say, oh, God, I thank you for that. Well, no, you say, no, I'm thankful that it could have been worse. But no, I don't like it that I have a broken leg and I'm on my way to go get it fixed. And I can be thankful that there's going to be a doctor and I'm making pretty good time and the lights are turning green and I'm getting there in a hurry. You know, I can thank you for all these things, but I'm not going to thank you. I got a broken leg now. Be thankful in all things, but not for everything. There's a big difference. It's a matter of the mind over matters. So rejoice in the Lord every day. How do we get up in the morning? This is the day that the Lord has made. What? I will rejoice and be glad in it. So rejoice in the Lord every day, Paul says there. Rejoice in the Lord. He goes on, beginning in verse 2. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For they are the circumcision, or sorry, we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and the glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. What do you think the second point is? Don't put any confidence in the flesh. Rejoice in the Lord, walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, but do not put confidence in the flesh. Paul says, he says, look, there are those, and he called them dogs. He doesn't pull any punches, you know. I mean, God, Paul just kind of said it like it was. He said, look, all these that are coming along saying the only way you're going to maintain your righteousness or you're going to be righteous is through circumcision or the works of the law or observing the law. He said, they're a bunch of dogs. Don't let them deceive you. Don't let them make you think there's something that you can do to stay holy or to be sanctified. Because only God can do that. No, he says, watch out for the dogs. We are the true circumcision. In other words, we're the true Jews. In Romans chapter 2, verse 28 and 29, he said, a Jew is one who inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart. In Galatians 3:7, Paul said, know that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. Remember when the Pharisees said, we're all sons of Abraham, and Jesus said, no, no, you're sons of the devil. That must have been absolutely shocking to him. That's not found in the pages of How to Win Friends and Influence People. And he said, you're the devil. Why? Because of how you act and how you behave. You just simply do what you is in your nature. But those who live by faith are the true sons of Abraham. So then Paul says, we're the true circumcision, and what do? Who worship by the Spirit of God and the glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Don't put your confidence in your ability to be able to fulfill all your goals for this year. Don't put your confidence in your ability in the flesh to lose those extra pounds that you want to lose. Do not put your confidence in the flesh that you can be good enough to continue to please a holy God. It is only in the Spirit. And Jesus Christ is the only one who sanctifies. You know, he's not impressed with our good works. And Paul was saying, you know, if he goes on to talk about after that, he said, look, if someone had reason to brag, I'm one of those guys that could have bragged. I had the best Jewish teacher that I studied under. I had a great reputation. I was moving up. I mean, I was on the move. If anybody had a reason to boast, it would have been me. And Paul says, I count it all but rubbish. Do you hear the story about the golfer that was having a pretty good game, and he comes up to a little three-par hole, and he's looking over, and it's got water in front of it, and he knows he can drive it. He knows he can certainly hit it that far, but he's making up his mind. He says, okay, I'm going to have to drive the green, but I'm going to have to carry that water. So he's up there. He's got a pretty good score going on. He's not, you know, he's not the best golfer in the world, but so far he hasn't lost any golf balls, and so he's like, it's going pretty good. So he gets up there and looks at the green, and then he finally goes over, and he goes over to his bag, and he pulls out an old ball just in case. And he goes and puts that ball on the tee. And he gets up there and getting ready to take a practice swing and swing. And then all of a sudden he hears a voice in the clouds. It says, use the new ball. And he looks around, thought some friends were playing a joke on him or something. And so he's thinking about that. He goes, okay. And he says, use the new ball. So he kind of goes back over to his bag and pulls out a sleeve of three golf balls and takes off the wrapper and takes the new ball out, brand new ball, and he goes and he puts it on the tee, and then he hears another voice, that same voice from the heavens, take a practice swing. So he goes up, takes a practice swing, take another practice swing. So he takes another practice swing, he stops for just a moment, and then he hears, go ahead and use the old ball. God is not impressed with our efforts, and he puts no confidence in our flesh. Therefore, we should not put confidence in the flesh either. Put no confidence in the flesh. Rejoice in the Lord every day. Do not put confidence in the flesh. And thirdly, cherish knowing Jesus above anything else. Look at verse 8. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Now, that's a sobering thought. And you just don't rattle it off. And I don't think Paul did either when he wrote those words to the Philippians. What Paul is saying is, in comparison, every other relationship he has and everything he has accomplished in his life in the flesh is like rubbish. It doesn't mean that it wasn't valuable. It doesn't mean that other relationships are not important. But compared to the knowing Christ, every other thing pales in comparison. He's saying, I could live without every other thing other than my relationship with Jesus. So as we go through this year, we keep these things in mind, just taken from the Apostle Paul. Rejoicing in the Lord every day, not just some days, every day. Putting no confidence in the flesh, that we'll meet our goals and we'll accomplish the great things that we have in our mind. We remember what happened with Peter in Mark chapter 14, whenever he was boasting and Jesus was saying that you're going to deny me. He says, look, these other guys might deny you, but I'm never going to deny you. And in fact, I will give my life before I deny you. And Jesus said, before the day is up, before the rooster crows, before the cock crows, you will deny me, what? Three times. Not once, not twice, three times. And that must have been devastating for Peter, because he had so much confidence that his love would stay sound and his commitment to Jesus would stay sound. But as we cherish knowing Jesus above everything else, as we go through 2021 and we foster this relationship with Jesus, this love relationship with Jesus, and even being able to be transparent enough to be able to say, Lord, if that's not a reality in my life, make it a reality in my life, that nothing else compares to cultivating my love relationship with you. Nothing compares to knowing you, Jesus. Nothing compares. Pursue him every day, in every way. Pray, read, study, sing about him, sing to him, talk about him, talk to him, listen to him. All in that process of cultivating that love relationship with Jesus. Lord, because I don't want anything in my life to be as important to me than knowing you. Amen. I often wonder, you know, which one of the countdowns does God attend every year when we count down to the new year? You ever thought about that? I have strange thoughts like this. Does he always make a commitment to be in Times Square? 10, 9, 8. Or is he 8 hours ahead of us? Or does he always show up in Jerusalem and he counts down with them and they're 8 hours ahead of us? Or does he go to Melbourne or Sydney? You know, they're 17 hours ahead of us. So it's got to be so confusing for God. Which calendar do I work off of here? You know, am I still, because I operate in eternity, do I still, respect the Julian calendar? Or do I stick with the Gregorian calendar? What about the Chinese calendar? What about the Hebrew calendar? What about all these calendars? Because we as people have this habit of marking time. And that's why we say things like, oh, thank the Lord that 2020 is gone. 2021 has got to be better. But in the span of history, God sees everything at the same time. And what is significant in God's mind and in God's heart would be best summed up in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away and is passing away. Behold, new things have come. Every day, in every way, as we foster our relationship with Jesus. But it begins with a relationship with Jesus. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, because we're talking about spiritual things, this is talking about things that are spiritually praised coming from God's word. And if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, then yes, you are bound and you are chained to the events and the circumstances of this life, because that's all you know and that's all you're preparing for. But if you have a relationship with Jesus, and the words when he spoke to his disciples that were going to be preserved for all time, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. And when you read Paul's letters, when he was saying, look, I'm torn between two realities. I long to go and be with the Lord, but I must stay here. When you read that, it's no longer a mystery when you understand in the Spirit of God that you weren't created for these few years here on earth. You were created for a relationship with God, and you were created for a home in eternity. And it's so simple. It's not easy, but it's simple. See, it's not easy because you have to get to a point where you give up the confidence in the flesh. You give up your trying to save yourself and be able to go to heaven and be good enough to go to heaven. You give up running your own life, and you're willing to be able to say, Lord, you created me for a relationship with you. You gave your life on the cross. I surrender my heart to you that you may come into me and live your life through me. It's not easy. That's hard. It takes a lot of thought. It takes a lot of consideration. But in light of God's amazing love and mercy and grace, it's a decision that can be made this simply. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Saved. Those aren't my words. That's the Bible's words. And we remember what Jesus said. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.